Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. By the way, while you're turning, I just was sitting there thinking, you realize in about 4 weeks we have our fourth anniversary for our church? That's just coming up fast. September 18th, it'll be 4 years, folks. And that's exciting. All right, Revelation chapter 12. We are going to finish our series tonight on justice. Next Wednesday night, we're going to start a series on heaven. And I'm excited about this. But tonight, I want to just, I'm going to kind of roll some things together and then kind of finalize this topic of justice. And we'll go forward with it. But Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye shall dwell and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, justice is probably the greatest attribute of God. You have to understand, without God's justice, he would not have the great love that he has. His great ability to love is based on his justice. His forgiveness is based on his justice. His mercy is based on his justice, and all of God's attributes point back to justice, the positive as well as his judgment, his righteousness. It's all a matter of justice. Now, it would only make sense that if God's greatest attribute were justice, that God's greatest enemy would be attacking God's greatest attribute. Does it not? Whatever is the strength is what you're most likely to attack of your enemy. The United States will be attacked by our enemies, not by our weakness, but by our strength. You say, how do you know? Because they've been doing it for many years. You just didn't know it. Our great ability to create money and have a great economy, the world has focused on that. Our giving country, they've focused on that to where we've given ourselves into $21 trillion into debt. And we're ruining our economy by our strength. And so the enemy will attack you in your strength. Now, that means this. The devil is most likely to try to destroy God's justice. Now, to fully understand this, we're going to have to go all the way back, and I want you to use your Bible tonight. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, the devil, Lucifer, as he was called before he was cast out of heaven. He's been given many different names throughout the millennia, but he was Lucifer in heaven. I want you to pick up with me at Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, watch this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my, what's the next word? Throne. Uh-oh, that's a place of judgment. That's a place of justice. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That is a Hebrew terminology for a city ruler. It would be the equivalent of our mayor or our governor. It is a place of judgment, of justice. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Wow. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit, God told him. Now, the devil kicked God or kicked Satan out of heaven because he was attacking God's justice. He said, look, I don't need God telling me and my followers what to do. I can decide what is right and wrong for myself. I will be like God to my followers. We don't need God. And there became a war there. And guess who won? It was God. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn all the way back. And by the way, I want you to know some things here in Isaiah 14. It said, I will exalt my throne. I will sit also upon the mount. It talks about, I will ascend above. He's exalting himself above God in justice. Now go to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to show you how from the very beginning of mankind, Satan has been attacking God's justice. And honestly, it's what created the first sin. Genesis chapter 3, I want to show you something here. Look at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, I want you to know something here. The devil says, look, Eve, didn't God say you could eat of everything in the garden? Of every tree? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Uh-oh. Just attacked God's justice. For God doth know, in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, judging good and evil yourself. You'll be able to decide good and evil for yourself. You won't need God to tell you what to do. Wow. So Satan attacked man, actually attacked God to man, and we yielded to the devil. By the way, that's why we are guilty of the same sin and worthy of the same hell as Satan. Satan was cast out of heaven before man was created. Hell was created before man was created. We committed the same sin that the devil committed. Therefore, we sinners deserve the same hell the devil deserves. But Jesus came and paid the sin debt for you and me, not for the devil and his angels. Now, I say that to say this. Satan came to Eve and said, you can interpret God yourself. You don't need him to tell you what to do. You can decide good and evil yourself. You could be your own judge. You won't need God. You could be as gods, the Bible said. Now, I don't think, this is my opinion, I don't think that Eve and Adam necessarily were thinking that that was such a bad thing. Wouldn't you like to be more like God? But I think the devil knew what he was doing far more than man knew what the devil was doing. And he said, look, if you'll just disobey him, you can be more like him. Now, that does not make sense. And by the way, anybody that tries to get you to disobey God, to be like God, they're wrong. Amen. Period. Now, so let me, in Revelation 12, let's go back. I wanted to show you. Beginning to end, we started at the end and backed our way through this thing. In Revelation 12, God reminds us of the story of how Michael and the angels were fighting against the devil and his angels, and that Satan was cast out of heaven. You say, isn't this in the future? No, this first part is the past. Look at it again, verse 7. And there was war in heaven, past tense. That war was against the angels versus the angels, the archangels, Michael and Lucifer, against one another and their forces. Now, I've heard it said one third of the angels here, one third here, one third here. I don't know the exact number, but we know that Lucifer had angels. We know that Michael had angels, and we know that Gabriel had angels. Whether they were divided up exactly equally, nobody knows. I'm not going to argue with somebody if they say that they are. I've probably said it as much as anybody else, but we have no idea what the number was. We know that there were three leaders and a group that followed each, and they were equally matched. Michael and Lucifer were deadlocked, and their fighters were deadlocked. And neither side was winning, and it took God to step in and cast Satan out. And by the way, you're not more powerful than the devil. You are not more powerful than the forces of evil. Only God is. Now, we'll get into that in a little while here. So, God's justice was that he cast Satan out because he couldn't allow sin in heaven. Now, I want you to notice something, though, in Revelation chapter 12, and this is where we're headed with the study tonight. Notice verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who which accused them before our God day and night. Now, notice Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. We learned a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, that in justice, one accusation, and by the way, any accusation doesn't make anybody guilty.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Just because you've been accused of something does not mean you're guilty.
Amen.
I think it was Sunday, I threw a little bit of a fit about the United States media. We have a bunch of accusers in the United States media. Something happens and we report the accusation as fact. And that's wrong.
Amen.
It's wrong. You take all the riots that took place in Missouri and in Florida and in Baltimore and all these other places, the news media convicted these people before there was ever a trial. In Milwaukee, they set the streets on fire. They've been reporting white officer shoots unarmed black man running who did nothing wrong. Ended up being a black officer shot a black fellow who had robbed a store and pointed a gun at the police officer. But you're not hearing the retractions printed anywhere. And it's okay for them to go ahead and burn all the buildings down because we don't want to squelch their freedom of speech. Now, that's called reporting an accusation. When the jerky attorney general in the state of Maryland with this fellow that was broke his neck in the paddy wagon. They wanted to convict five officers. By the way, all five scot-free. Now, I say that to say this. Less than 12 hours after it all took place, she had already condemned those five officers and said, no justice, no peace. I will get you justice. The family has already been paid $6.5 million by the state of Maryland. And every one of those officers was let go scot-free, no trial, and can't be retried because there wasn't enough evidence to convict them. And then she got up in a 90-minute press meeting and lambasted the justice system. Just because you're accused of something does not mean you're guilty. I learned a long time ago, I've been accused of a lot of things, but it didn't mean I did it. There's been a lot of things I haven't been accused of that I did do, too. We won't go there. Now, here's the thing. Satan is challenging God's justice by accusing us to him. When the devil comes before God and says, have you seen old Rich Stoltz driving his truck? Do you know what he's been doing in that truck? I want you to know something. It doesn't say that he's the false accuser. I don't think the devil's able to stand before God and lie. I think if Rich did something sinful like break the law or ran over somebody's cat or something like that, that's not a sin. That's right. But let's say he had, was breaking the law on purpose, and the devil said, "Did you see what Rich Stoltz just did? Did you? He just broke the law, God. He's supposed to be a Christian. He's challenging God's justice." And he's standing there, the Bible says in Revelation 12, continually, day and night, accusing us to God. You say, why? Because we're continually sinning. And there's so many of us, there's plenty there for him to talk about. Now watch this. You have Satan accusing God to man. You have the liberals, you have the God-haters, you have the false religions that teach you, well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? That's misjustice. Oh, we have the all the same God, he just has different names. No, it's God, and then there's all the false gods. The news media has been for the last 6 to 8 months now reporting every time one of these terrorists gets up and says Allah Akbar that it means God is great. No, it means Allah is great. It does not mean God. But you now have the United States press freely printing that that means God is great. We're confusing who God is to man.
Right.
Say, preacher, you use a lot of political things. Yeah, because I'm tired of us being deceived. Now, he's trying to destroy justice. Satan is trying to destroy justice. He goes to God, trying to challenge God's justice for man, and he comes to man trying to challenge God's justice to man. And you have this great accusation going at both directions at the same time. That's how the lost world questions God. That's why they question God. That's why they're so confused about God, because you've got the devil accusing God to man. Well, how do you know that that Bible's the right one? It's just written by man. No, it's not. Well, all the others are, but that one's not. Now, wait a minute here. Tonight, I want to show you how the devil is using this big weapon of accusation. And I must hurry. Number one. He uses this, but this is why we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 10. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I gotta hurry through it, but I want to show you something. God tells the Christian to put on the whole armor of God. Folks, you can spend 30 weeks studying the armor of God and know how many rivets are in the armor and what kind of underwear you wear under the armor and everything else. I know a lot of people that know a lot of facts about the armor, but the purpose of armor is for what? Fighting. It's for battle. Knowing all the facts about your armor but doing nothing with it is worthless. We're supposed to know what the armor is so that we go to battle and not get wiped out.
Yes, sir.
All right, look at Ephesians 6, verse number 10. My wife laughed at me on that one. All right, Ephesians 6, 10. Getting warm in here, right, hon? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now I want you to notice something about this. God says you're supposed to put on the whole armor of God because you're going to fight in these four or five areas here. You're going to fight against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word principalities there, don't read too much into this, but it literally means the devil. It is Satan himself. He is the principled one engaged in the battle. He is that principality, that power. He is the lead power against what we are opposed to. Can I tell you something? We're going to face opposition in building our building, if you can't tell already. You say, why? Because we're going against an enemy. If everything was going smooth, preacher, I'd be worried. I'm glad I'm facing some opposition. At least I know I'm going the right direction.
Amen.
So that word principality means Satan, probably Satan and maybe his top couple henchmen. Then you have the term powers. That word powers, that is Satan's leadership under him that goes throughout all the world. You have to understand something. The devil is not omnipresent like God.
Right.
Satan can't be everywhere at one time like God can. He can only do one battle at a time. He's like us. Now, he's more powerful than we are, but he does not have the ability to fight at Evan's house and then go fight at Joe's house. But Leanne's there, so that's... Anyway, but he can't be everywhere at one time. He has leadership under him that can diverge that out, and he can take that battle and lead them in many different directions, but he himself can only be in one place at one time.
Right.
Most of you have never, ever, including me, probably ever been face-to-face with the devil himself doing battle. Now, I've met a few people I wondered, but I don't think that so. Now, then you have the rulers of the darkness of this world. that's political leaders. That is world leadership that is evil. Yes, Hillary. And others that are in the White House. It is literally meaning you take all of the evil regimes of the world, the Saddam Husseins and the guy in Syria. All of a sudden, I forgot his name. But Syria, you got Pakistan, you've got Turkey, you've got all of the evil dictators of the world, the Hitlers, the Stalins, the Mussolinis of the world. These are the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're the ones that bring darkness to nations all over the world, are suppressing Christianity, suppressing the Bible, suppressing the spreading of the gospel. Say, what is that? Those are the rulers of the darkness of this world. The Muslims who are in control in this world and gaining control, can I tell you something? They are part of this, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Why in the world we want to allow 60,000 of them a year into our country, unvetted, I don't understand. Am I doing okay? I'm not against people coming here that legally come here, but I do agree with the fact that there ought to be a reason other than killing us and destroying us. It only makes sense. Now, then you have spiritual wickedness in high places. These are demons. These are evil influences. This is Hollywood. Hollywood would be considered spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, I hate to tell you this, but nothing in Hollywood is real.
Right.
How many of you have ever actually been to the city of Hollywood? Raise your hand. All right? A few of you. How many of you have ever heard of the Walk of Fame, the Hollywood stars? If you've never seen it, it's a joke. You got to dig the bubble gum and the cigarettes and the vomit off the sidewalk to see whose star's there, because it's all it is common, ordinary city street. You're walking over top of them and don't even know where you're at half the time because nobody pays attention to it. It's kind of funny. Nothing in Hollywood is real. And by the way, they have a real agenda. Their real agenda is to destroy the morality in America. Now, then you have your sports, your professional sports. And I hate to tell you something, but professional sports is spiritual wickedness in high places. When you're playing ball on Sundays and baseball becomes your God, can I tell you something? Or football or hockey or basketball, it's wrong. When we were in California, I talked to Tommy Lasorda, who was the manager of the LA Dodgers, trying to set up a meeting with some of the players to get them to church. There was a couple quote-unquote Christians on the team. The pastor I worked for wanted me to try to get them to come to the church, and I ended up talking to Mr. Lasorda. Mr. Lasorda said, well, Reverend, I can't promote church to my guys. Baseball is more important than church. I said, Mr. Lasorda, I said, if you died, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? He choked on his chewing tobacco. He said, bless God, Reverend, I'm Catholic, and if that don't take me to heaven, guess I'm going to play baseball in hell. I said, yes, sir, you'll bust hell wide open. I said, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, he said, and then he started cussing me out. One of the most vile human beings I've ever talked to. Now, he said, were you afraid to witness to him? I had nothing to lose. Nothing. Sports are not, it's vile. It's wicked. There's a lot more wickedness going on in professional sports than you even can think of. When there's that amount of money going around, there is spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why Magic Johnson has AIDS. That's why Michael Jordan is a professional gambler. Scottie Pippen is, he's got about 30 children from about 25 different women. Never married a one of them. And I could go on and on and on and on. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, I say that to say this. Then you've got your music culture, your rock music culture, your country music culture, your contemporary Christian music culture. It's all showmanship. It's all professionalism. And the rock music culture and the country music culture is about as vile as it gets. Everybody doing all right? We know that drugs, legal and illegal drugs, are you know, it's pretty bad when a doctor has to be careful what he prescribes you because people will abuse it and turn it into a habit. I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm not against you. If you need to take something that your doctor prescribes it, great, but don't take it any longer than you have to. And I'll just leave it at that. So God says this attack, these accusations come, and you need the armor of God because all of these things are attacking you by accusation. I was reading some articles. Of course, school has started back up, and a lot of the school districts, and I'm not talking locally, I'm talking nationally, there's a big uproar because some of the school districts have started cracking down, so to speak, not near enough, on dress code. And the kids are all upset because they can't wear their pajamas, they can't wear their short shorts, they can't wear slits that show their underwear and their undergarments. They're upset that a girl's skirt or shorts have to reach the bottom of her fingertips when she stands up. Lord have mercy, I've got shirts longer than that. And the kids are all upset, and you hear statements like this, we're not all from the Amish community like you are. And I'm thinking, what happened to decency and morality? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And now you have educators that are saying, well, we shouldn't squelch the free speech of our students. They should be able to express themselves as they want, how they dress. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. State of Maryland just came out this week with this transgender issue. On overnight school trips, if you have transgender children, the school, by law, does not have to tell you that that child is going to be in a room with the children of the opposite sex. And they're not even telling the staff. They said only those that need to know will be in the need to know list. And parents are not on that. Well, it would be a cold day where the booger man lives before that happens to one of my kids. Amen. By the way, it's already been stated legally. By the way, they can use any bathroom they want. They can use any shower, locker room they want. And it's happening. And by the way, that's a mandate from President Obama. That comes from the White House, not just from the state. We just happen to have the People's Republic of Maryland that will enforce it. I mean, the state of Maryland. So we're going to have battle. And these are all accusations against justice. Well, it's not fair. Folks, you take their blood, and their blood's going to show you whether they're a boy or a girl. It doesn't say to be determined. Right. I'm sorry. That's a trained trait, not a natural trait. All right? I got to hurry. Number two, Satan attacks God's word and God's credibility. Satan accuses the credibility of that book right there. Eve, didn't God say you could eat of any tree of the garden? Well, he said we could eat of all the trees except the one in the midst of the garden. And if we do, then God said we would die. Oh, God didn't mean you would die. God didn't say you would die. He was attacking God's word. Can I tell you something? The battle of our life always has been, always will be, over that book right there. That's why man wants to keep rewriting it. The King James Bible is not another version. It is the Word of God. All right? Man's words are versions. The Bible is not just inspired in its original. The word inspired means God breathed. It gives its life-giving breath. And if it's not inspired now, it's dead, and so is God. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And if that book is not inspired, God's dead.
Yes, sir.
Period. It's not just in the originals. Look how many times Jesus quoted Scripture that was almost 2,000 years old, and He said, Scripture says.
Yep. Right.
Scripture says.
Yes,
sir. It wasn't the originals. It was as far, he was as far away from when those were written down as we are from Jesus.
Right.
And he was calling it Scripture.
Amen.
And they didn't have it on computer or their iPhone.
Right.
Now, the media today is not much more than reporters of accusation. You're going to find that the Christians are the bad guys and the world are the good guys. We're already finding that out. They've been attacking and attacking and attacking. By the way, God said it would be that way in the last days. He said that evil would be good and good would be evil. And God already told us what was coming. And this great accusation of God's word is not the word of God. That's why when you go door-to-door soul winning, people will tell you, well, how do you know that that's the right one? There are so many Bibles out there that even the world is so confused to know which one it is. All right? Can I tell you? You just tell them, God only wrote one. Man didn't write this one. God did. It's all right. Oh, no, there was a lot of people that wrote that one. No, only one did, and his name is God. Those words were settled in heaven before the world was created. You're okay. Now, how do we overcome the devil then, and how do we overcome these accusations? Revelation chapter 12. I've got about four or five statements, and I'm done, and I got 6 minutes. Praise the Lord. That does not mean you're getting out on time. I was just praising the Lord that I had 6 minutes. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. Now, we overcome these accusations by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? The moment you got saved, your sins were forgiven. They were placed under the blood of the Lamb. Guess what? That means in God's eyes, it never took place.
That's right.
The justice and the judgment for your sin is settled at salvation. Do you know, as a Christian, you'll never, ever face judgment for your sin?
Amen.
Say why? Because it was already cared for at salvation.
Amen.
Now, you could lose some rewards. You may not get some things that you could have gotten, but you're not going to stand before heaven in heaven, and God's going to put your whole life on a giant video screen, and God's going to show you all the bad things you did. No. He said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
Fred, about 7-8 months ago when you got saved, sitting there in your living room, that day that you finally gave in, hard-headed, mule-headed, but you bowed your head and trusted Christ, guess what? 77, 78 years before then was forgiven. You never faced judgment for it.
Amen.
It's gone. You'll never face judgment for it. You say, why? Because Jesus balanced the scale and justified you. He lined you up and made you just and perfect with God.
Now watch this. That means this. He's accusing you to God, and God says, I don't see it. It's not there. Amen. Then he comes back and tries to make you feel bad about how you lived your life, and you got to tell him to go back to where he came from because you're not going to be judged for it. Amen. Some of you live with way too much guilt of your past. Some of you need to forgive yourself as God did and realize something. It's cared for, and the devil can't make you live it over again. Amen. Forgive yourself. Go forward. Amen. Boy, that's good stuff. The blood cleanses, it covers, and it removes all sin and guilt from your life. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You've been accused. You've been tried, you've been found guilty, you've been sentenced to death, but somebody else paid the price for you, wiped it clean, you've been pardoned, and you've been justified, and it's not there anymore.
Amen.
That means you go forward. Now, the blood covers sin, and its sin is not ever to be seen. He said he buried our sin in the depths of the sea. It doesn't say God forgets our sins. He said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I won't bring them to memory. If God's not going to bring them to memory, by the way, he put Christ's account on your life. He imputed the righteousness of Jesus to your life. God sees the righteousness of Christ, not your sins and iniquities. That's why Jesus spent 33 years here on earth. He had to live enough righteousness to add to our account so that not only were we sinless, but we had enough righteousness to get to heaven.
Amen.
Now, the blood eliminates the judgment of sin because we trusted that blood to take us to heaven.
Amen.
The blood of Christ is exciting to me. That's my favorite subject to preach about. Can I tell you why? I want to see Jesus when I get there. I want to see a lot of people when I get there. After I see Jesus, I think I'm going to ask him, can we go to the mercy seat so I can see the blood? I really believe that's the first thing I would like to see in heaven. I'd like to see the blood that got me there, that covered it all, that paid the price. Whew. I don't know about you. I get excited thinking about it, but I'm going to have a spell when I get to see it.
Amen.
Say, well, are you sure it's going to be there? Yes. I'm sure. Now, when we live God's way, it talks about by the word of our testimony, by the word of their testimony. That means this. When you live this way, you eliminate the accusations of the devil against us. Now, it doesn't mean you'll never be, look at me, doesn't mean you'll never be accused of something, but it won't stick. You can't live above the accusation coming to you, but you can live above the accusation sticking to you. You can't live above somebody saying something about you. Good night. Not a preacher in the world worth their salt that hadn't had somebody say something negative about them. That doesn't mean it's true. And by the way, we ought to be careful what we say. It's just like saying all doctors are bad. Not all doctors are bad. Now, you may have had a bad experience, but even that doctor may have been right more times than he's not. Everybody doing okay? It's like saying all women are bad drivers. Not all of them. But not a lot of them are. No. most of them just can't see over the steering wheel and push the pedal at the same time. Brother Ron, you're not much taller than some of them. And you rode in my car tonight while I drove. Now, when we live God's way, we eliminate the usefulness or the effectiveness of Satan's accusation. Take Job. Remember the story of Job? God came and Satan went to God and said, hey, you give me somebody and I'll make them deny. He said, consider my servant Job. Not a better man in all the world. And God allowed Satan to hurt Job and Job's family, and he allowed those things to take place. You say, why? And some bad accusations. But wait a minute, they didn't stick. Everybody doing okay? Now, I don't think God said, I want Job to suffer. But he did say, I know Job will take it. He said, I know Job can take it. I know what kind of man he is.
I know what kind of Christian he is. He'll take it. He'll do right. And he did. Now, John the Baptist. Did you know that John the Baptist had a moment of doubt? John the Baptist was in prison, about ready to get his head lopped off, and he sent a couple of his disciples to Jesus and said, John sent us to you to say, are you really who you say you are? I'm about to lose my life. I want to make sure I'm losing it for the right guy. Are you really sure? He said, tell him I am. Then he turned to his disciples and said, there's none greater born of women than John the Baptist. Wait a minute, John had a little bit of doubt right there. If you were facing getting your head cut off, I think you'd think twice, wouldn't you? I know I would. I kind of like where it's at. Now, we will not stop the devil's accusations, but we don't need to let his accusations affect us so much.
Right.
Every once in a while, somebody will say, preacher, did you hear what somebody said about? No, I don't listen to it. Do you know what somebody put on Facebook or Twitter or whatever? No, I don't have an account. Don't want an account. Not going to be on account. I'll put my face in the book. I don't need to be on Facebook. I'm not against you if you are. But let me say this. There's an awful lot being said on that that doesn't need to be said. People are real courageous when they don't have to face you face to face. By the way, and just because somebody says something doesn't mean they're guilty either. Well, I got it from a credible source. The Bible says you need at least two witnesses before it can even be heard and tried. Just because two people agree doesn't mean that it's true. Now, salvation eliminates fear of Satan's accusations. That old accuser. He's been accusing God's justice for an awfully long time. That accusation of God's justice is what caused Satan to be kicked out of heaven. It's also what caused us to listen to him and sin against God. And now we have Satan accusing man to God and God to man. And he's working both ends in the middle at the same time. And we wonder why the gap keeps getting farther and farther and farther and farther. Because we listen to way too much of this accusation stuff. Let's live by that book.
Amen.
And let's not worry about what they say. Let's just keep on going out, knocking on doors, getting people saved, seeing lives changed. Watch God do everything that God does. Because that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, we sometimes want revenge. We want vigilantism. But God said justice. We'll let him take care of all the vengeance. Let's not listen to the accusations. Let's not be false accusers. Let's not be accusers. And let's not let the devil get the victory over this.